Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 11ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.11ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 11ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. And the man that built GE Capital, reinvented NBC, transformed the nonprofit world with Autism Speaks, now continuing his battle against deadly pancreatic cancer in honor of his lifelong partner and spouse, Suzanne Wright, who succumbed to the cancer. Bob Wright versus pancreatic cancer. We get an update on his Code Purple Now battle. And then a lot of change going on at his old hunting grounds. GE will pick Bob's brain. There's been a recent sharp drop in the stock price. We'll find out what's going on there. That's all tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Bob served as CEO of NBC Universal, CEO of GE Capital, vice chair of GE under Jack Welch. And he and his wife, Suzanne, co-founded Autism Speaks after their grandson was diagnosed with autism. He's now founder and chairman of the Suzanne Wright Foundation, taking on pancreatic cancer. He's on before about his book, The Right Stuff, from NBC to Autism Speaks. Welcome back, Bob. Great honor.
Thank you, Jim. I wish the book had had the next chapter in it, which is the chapter we're in right now, dealing with pancreatic.
Yeah, I was going to say it's missing that chapter, and we're great. And last time we had you, we said, you know, this disease is so bad that we're going to hold you accountable for being successful. GE way, you promised to be back, and here you are. And I like this DARPA to HARPA. The business model looks brilliant. But before we jump into that, fill people in again about the deadly killer.
Well, pancreatic cancer is the deadliest killer. There's no question of all the cancers. And the problem that I face with Suzanne is that nothing has changed in over 40 years. 91% of the patients die. There is no early detection tests or no curative treatments. And that's just black and white. And when you have a mortality rate like this, it's just horrible. And that is, and there's all kinds of reasons why the scientists say they can't do this, but the answer is we can fix this. There's something can be done. Now, cancer is not the only thing alone. There are lots of human diseases that aren't on the, haven't been, you know, no treatments have been formed, but not of this thing. 45,000 people die every year from pancreatic cancer. That's the same amount as the opiate crisis now that we have in the United States, which we're trying to form. We call it an emergency. We're trying to fix it. We don't call pancreatic cancer anything but another disease. And that's why I got into this. And I think the government plays a really essential role here. The NIH does basic research. But there are too many grants, too many institutions, over too many years. You know, they approach an emergency situation like a science project. We need translational research that makes a difference now. And so, you know, from a business standpoint, we've under-leveraged the assets that the government has, whether it be work done at tons of data from basic research at the NIH, the NCI, the NSF, institutions across the country. But we haven't taken that and tried to put it together with big data and use the tools that are available today to make these things, you know, really come across. And that's how I got involved with DARPA. I should show you earlier, I got involved with the NIH on the Missing Project. That's a project for autism, where we needed whole genome sequencing because that's where the world is going. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't fund it. I had to go out and basically raise $40 million to fund this project. And the NIH, which is well-funded by work that I did for them, wouldn't take this on, even though the money was available. And DARPA, ironically, is the gold standard for delivering high-impact results on difficult issues in the federal government. If we think about the way DARPA projects have fundamentally changed in the Department of Defense, the lives and the impact that it's had on individuals and people in this country, it's just enormous.
And we should say DARPA is responsible for inventing really GPS, the internet, stealth aircraft. So it's great. What does DARPA stand for? Tell folks.
DARPA stands for Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. It's an agency, and it has its own credentials. It's a semi-autonomous agency that sits inside of the Department of Defense. And it is not burdened with most of the rules of government. The way it can operate, it doesn't give out grants. It enters contracts. It can contract with almost anyone, companies, individuals, universities, scientific groups. Google, Amazon, Microsoft. It can do all of that sort of thing. And what it does is it puts down dates. This is what has to get accomplished by a certain amount of time. The projects are designed to be accomplished in a few years, not 20 years. And if you miss your deadlines, you're apt to lose your contract. It'll be terminated. They have the right to terminate a contract without obligation. It's a very tough program, and people are dying to be directors in these things because the projects are something that people may have been working on themselves, but they never had enough money. These are large projects. Instead of $1 million projects, they could be $30 million projects or $40 or $100 million projects.
The
last one I remember was the prosthesis, the human hand that they have developed.
Put on all these poor kids that had met IEDs in Iraq.
They're all over Afghanistan. A lot of this came from the Russians dropped all these things, but a lot of them are army people. I mean, really young guys that lost a leg or an arm and all this sort of thing.
So there's a big contrast between the NIH then, right, and the DARPA, these bigger grants you talk about. They also have program managers that are sort of the best and the brightest, and they're actually empowered, right, to drive stuff.
Well, they people line up to be a program manager at DARPA and would do the same at HARPA. These are people that are outstanding in some part of the field, and they felt like they've had a project they could have done. They couldn't get the support at the university at the sixth scale of it, or they couldn't get support at the corporation that they work for, so they come in. I should tell you, this is a personal matter. It's interesting. I had Merkel cell cancer developed in 99, and I had a surgery in 2000 right away, and that's a killer. You could die from it because it's very hard to detect. And I had this crazy surgery that when I was in Memorial Sloan Kettering, they told me it was breast cancer surgery. It was kind of like a laugh, but it was true. And part of the surgery is the way the size of the hole they put in my head, and they also put radioactive ingredients in my body to flow through to isolate certain nodes that were going to be taken out in the course of the surgery to determine whether it had metastasized. It sounds very simple, but it's very complicated. And I got to tell you, that was successful, and I'm alive today. That same surgery is being performed today. We have a friend. We have somebody right in Fairfield right now. Who's in the hospital at Yale, and he's recovering from what is essentially the same surgery today, 17 years later. And that surgery, that technique was developed by DARPA in 1996. A woman, an admiral in the Public Health Corps, Susan Blumenthal, Suzanne Blumenthal, was who's Ed Markey's wife by happenstance.
Interesting.
She was to work with DARPA to develop this technology, and they used work from the CIA to try to do the logarithms to determine which nodes would have to come out and how many and where and how fast, how you detect it and everything. And that's translational medicine. It's taking what we know, using other people in it. That's a perfect example of what DARPA does. We need this same thing in HARPA, which is just adding H. It's health, you know, and as opposed to defense. And I have a partner now, and his name is Dr. Jeff Ling. And Jeff is an outstanding person. Now, you got to just look up him up on the Internet. He's the most productive doctor, scientist you could ever imagine. He's a neurologist. He's a neurospecialist in critical care. He has appointments at Johns Hopkins. He was in the Army for 20 years. He's a colonel. He went two tours of duty, one in Afghanistan and one in Iraq, because he wanted to see medical work in the field, and he went there. And he is a DARPA expert, and he worked at DARPA. He did the prosthesis, the hand, and he wants to be the head of this, and he's my candidate to run this program, and he is dying to do it.
Oh, fascinating. You listen to Business Talk.
People lined up with him right now to do this program.
All right, we're going to come right back, Business Talk with Jim Campbell, and do a little bit more on HARPA, so stay with us.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618. Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with Bob Wright talking about an innovative new structure he wants to put in place called HARPA, a health agency modeled on the defense agency's DARPA. The first thing is what do you have to do to get a HARPA established, and where does it go in the government then?
Well, we would like that to go right inside of Health and Human Resources. That's where it belongs.
Okay.
And right now they don't have anything in Health and Human Resources which does anything like this. We have bench science. That's what the NIH does, and we have Medicare and Medicaid, which are you know, paying for treatments, but they're not developing treatments. And this would be the ideal place for it. And people, since I've raised this issue, people have come to me and said, we should have done this 20 years ago. Why didn't we do it 20 years ago? Well, there's been pushback from the NIH. It doesn't want to see any group inside of Health and Human Services that's dealing with, you know, medical research that isn't them.
I was going to say, is there going to be a turf war then?
Yes, there is a turf war. There will be, yeah.
Do you have to go through Congress then to get this? You need the president's support to drive it?
I have to have the president's support. Yes, absolutely. I do have bipartisan support in both the Senate and the House.
But even if NIH comes and lobbies against it?
Well, you know, we'll see. But the reality is, this is not a competition. This is a different process. This is an organization. We're going to be dealing with big grants with very aggressive deliverables and timetables, and we're going to be reporting progress to the American taxpayer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, everything that we do is going to be reported, and it's going to be reported almost immediately. And everything's going to be open, and there's no waiting for a university to say you have to publish a paper before you can do it. No, it comes right out.
Is it going to be just pancreatic cancer initially?
No. It's open to anything. Hopefully, pancreatic cancer, especially the issue of early detection, is going to be there because there are so many things that can be done. We've got a long list of projects that are, you know, not pancreatic cancer. And the White House Office of Innovation has been involved in this. We have the Cancer Moonshot, the 21st Century Cures Bill. These bills have been passed, and there's plenty of money available, you know, to do this one. This is not near the cost of some of these other things.
Okay, this cultural and structural sort of revolution you're calling for, and the stats you guys sent me, prostate cancer now has a 99% survival rate, breast cancer 90%, colorectal cancer 65%, and pancreatic is at 9%. Is that partly politics?
I think it's where pressure has been brought to the table. There are outstanding improvements in longevity for cancer over the last 25 years.
Okay.
It's debatable who is responsible for this. People in biotech would say they did it all. And people at NIH would say they helped.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's very hard. But the reality is it hasn't helped pancreatic cancer by one inch.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we've lost a little bit. It was a 9% mortality. That's always the kind of the wrong way to do this. The real way is it's 91% die.
Yeah.
Now it's 92 right now.
Yes.
So
it's going the wrong direction.
there's nothing like that. No, there's nothing like that. It's all by itself.
Let me ask you this. One of the things that HARPA...
Excuse me, but if we just had early detection, we could... If we improve early, 85% of the people that get diagnosed are stage four,
yeah.
Jim, and that means they're going to die.
That's the whole ball game, and I guess
if you improve that by 10%, you save 5,000 lives right off the bat.
Yeah, and I think that part of HARPA's mission would be to develop artificial intelligence, right, that would help those tools.
Well, we've already got several. We've got two competing structures for early detection. One is a micro MRI approach, and the other is blood work. And blood work's been around for a long time, but nobody seems to have enough money to finish the job on blood work. And we should get into it. What HARPA will do is take on something that's really difficult, but they'll also say after a period, we got to stop. It's not worth it. You know, in other words, we're too far away from the science or something like that. But unlike those guys in the lab that want to go on forever,
yeah.
They'll just say no. It's that. We move on.
It's got to be some deliverables.
There's a yes or no here in a certain period of time.
I know one of the goals of HARPA is to de-risk innovation. What does that mean in your eyes?
It's to show that you can take pieces of things that have already been developed and put them together and make something happen. Like the early diagnosis from a single drop of blood. There's a project, a prosthetic eye that can communicate directly with the brain. That's something that many people have looked at. It and that comes out of DARPA. It's not a question. It doesn't fit DARPA, but it could fit HARPA. A portable MRI machine to detect diseases at a microscopic level. A technique to cure enzyme deficiency disorders through gene therapy. See, these are connecting dots. These are connecting things that are out there, but that have not been actually connected together. That's what DARPA is so good at doing.
How do you see this process flowing before something is actually getting out there?
We have to get approval at the White House. There are people in the White House that are very much aware of this. We're not silent about it. We've done a lot. We're going to have some piece of legislation come out of Congress. I believe that we have a very strong bipartisan support group to do this, because this doesn't really conflict with the NIH. It adds value to what Health and Human Services can do.
Will you have DARPA support? I mean, talking about this.
Well,
I'm
certainly going to have DARPA support because a lot of the people I'm talking about came from DARPA.
the Innovation Office you said that you worked with, is that Jared Kushner's thing?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to exaggerate it. They're well aware of this.
Okay.
Yeah, they're well aware of this. There are a number of people in the White House that are involved in both in science and medical that are aware of this, and to the extent that I can say to you, they're all very enthused about it.
And you could see something coming out of a HARPA in what, 2 years, 18 months?
Well, we have to get it formed. You have to actually put it together. We need this to be approved and to be operational in the sense of moving forward at least in the next 2 months.
All right. Before we get to GE in the next segment, we finish out here in the last minute. How overall is the progress going on Code Purple now and your focus, et cetera, or is it all HARPA?
Well, this is the focus now of Code Purple. We have isolated the best opportunity that we could find after going through kinds of different options. This is the best thing I could do and spend my time, my money, and my effort and others to get going, because we can really make a difference in pancreatic cancer, and that's life saving. And it's not life saving 25 years from now. It's life saving a real, honest to God, early detection would just save lives immediately.
And you're going to be able to say someday that 9% number is a much better number.
I'd like to see that number down to about 60% or something in my time.
Well, that would be.
I can't believe that we can't do that.
How can
people I'm dealing with believe it themselves? So
how can people help out? Do you need money given, or do they go?
I could use some money to help the program. Yes, this is an expensive thing to be doing. There's a lot of expense in all the kind of people that are around it, you know, the websites and all that. And but I think in the end, I'm going to need people to support any legislation, get to their congressmen and senators and say, hey, why not? Why aren't we doing this? Why haven't we done it 20 years ago?
All right, it's the CodePurpleNow.org is where you can go to the website. On Facebook.com is CodePurpleNow as well. We've been talking with Bob Wright. We're going to move to GE when we get back.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow.
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Hi, I'm Craig Sammet, Chief Clinical Officer from Anthem. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why the Anthem Foundation supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769. National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. Former NBC CEO Bob Wright, a GE man for his whole career. And GE's got a new CEO after 16 years, and it's got a stock price that is somewhat collapsed. And we're trying to figure out how bad things are at GE. And first of all, give us the big picture.
Well, the big picture is there are two kinds of investors out there today regarding GE. They're the people that own the stock, like me, which are really, we're crying.
Hurting.
We're hurting. It's a $20 stock now, and it's down 35% since the beginning of the year, and it's really hurting. And then there's another group of people out there that are investors that are looking at a company that's selling for $20, which was selling for $30 only a year ago. And they're saying, well, wait a second. Doesn't this company have really good oil and gas entities? They also have a huge healthcare business. They also have a financial organization that provides financial support to all of these entities. So is this a time for people that haven't been in it, this may be a great time to get in it. And for those of us that are in it, we kind of cry, you know. But so that's what we're seeing
right
now.
But the point you're making is that the future is still before GE. We're not in some kind of a seminal, going out of business kind of thing. I exaggerate.
But. Well, those businesses that they have that I just described are mega businesses, and they are extremely well regarded around the world. So it's not, they're not going away. Now, there's cyclicality associated with them, and you know, energy's been slow, and oil and gas has been slow, but the aircraft engine business is not slow. They're a top performer, and the business is huge. So they have to clean up the balance sheet. A lot of things, you know, have happened. That you have a new CEO. He appears to be very talented. And he's been around a long time. He spent 12 years outside the United States, so he's like he's very much an international person as well. He's a graduate of Fairfield University and also a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School with an MBA. And he's a very talented guy. Sure. I think he's taking all these issues on head on. He doesn't want to be telling people a year from now he just discovered this and that and the other thing. So he's trying to get everything on the table. And I think it's a lot to take. I anticipate there will be a reduction in the dividend because the rate now is approaching, 4.5% or something. They need cash. They need to conserve their cash or at least mind it. I expect that. I think the market does. I think that's part of the pricing. But the one thing we haven't been talking about too much is the is the software involved in the project that Immelt was so associated with in terms of industrial software. And maybe that's taking a little bit of a back seat right now because you really have to get the balance sheet aligned with in a very transparent way with the market.
And I have to say on the digital industrial strategy, I think it's a brilliant strategy. And GE was very open and did a show about it. With me, and basically admitted that it is a leap of faith. And to hear a conservative big business company say that they're willing to take that kind of a dip, you got to give them Immelt a lot of credit. Now, having said that about Immelt, you're too classy, I'm sure, and it saddens me because he went to Dartmouth. He was there when I was at the Tuck School there. Is his tenure a failure?
You know, there's a lot of reasons why, but it's certainly marked. He came in with a. On the day he took over, the stock was $36 because we had 9/11, and and it went all the way down to $5 because when the collapse of the before that it went down when the energy business collapsed, so it went down to like $22, and then all of a sudden it went from $22 to $5 in 2009.
Yeah.
But that was an issue because they had to raise a ton of money to support GE Capital because the GE Capital became a national bank, and they had to put tremendous amount of capital. We had insurance problems. We had all kinds of problems, and He's probably his biggest criticism will be that he bought at the peak and he sold at the bottom.
Now, he moved the headquarters to Boston to get to a more innovative environment, and also because Connecticut is so mismanaged, unfortunately. Sold his house, moved up there, and then within a few months he's out. Does that imply that he was ousted or something? Why would he have done that and sold his house and moved up there and then had to retire so quickly thereafter?
Well, I think he wanted to do that for a long time. They did a big shopping tour as to where to go. I don't think it was like this. I don't think it was anti-Connecticut. They had a very good, my understanding is, they had a very good tax situation.
It was definitely for the innovation. That was
He thought that the company was not well known enough for the quality of its engineering and innovation.
Exactly.
And being 60 miles from New York, we're in a state which is now not known for that either. Now you have United Technologies is probably the other leader. That going to Boston would be a shot in the arm, especially since they wanted to really develop a digital world for engineering.
But now let's talk about this more substantive business stuff, and this one you can relate to because they were your businesses.
Yep.
They've unloaded NBC and GE Cap, and they were great cash generators, and they've got now these great long businesses, digital industrial, but their long cycle, the current cash flow estimate went from $15 billion to $7 billion. That's a huge drop. Did they unload too much of the cash generators? Are they in a big problem here?
Well, they certainly, in the case of NBC, they weren't confident that NBC would be successful going forward. They they thought that digital was going to really hurt NBC in the near term. Now, we were a huge cash generator for the company. Probably at that point in time, maybe the strongest one.
And GE Capital would be next then, right?
But GE Capital was lightly regulated at that point in time.
Good
then
point.
It became heavily regulated, and that changed all. I think they missed the timing. When you're getting rid of businesses that do have a lot of cash generation, and you're buying businesses that are going to have it but not near term, you're going to have a big valley in there. And they misread that valley, and that valley meaning lower cash flows, but yet that's going to impact earnings. All of a sudden, they've made a lot of investments. They turned out to be much longer-term investments like oil and gas than they ever anticipated.
Yeah, good.
And they got rid of pieces that were huge income generators for them.
Now, we talked about John Flannery. He's the new guy there. Are you bullish on him?
Yes, I am. I didn't know him personally. He came into GE Capital in 1987, and I had already left. That was just when I left GE Capital. But he has a very strong reputation among people.
Is he going to make GE smaller?
I think he's going to make GE smaller and probably larger in the future. That's my guess.
All right. One other thing, and this is probably unfair, but you were in Hollywood for 20 years. Did you know this Harvey Weinstein guy was a creep?
I could tell you that I met many, many people that I thought, probably were involved in a lot of things that I wouldn't have approved that they were with me. But what's happened here is even worse than I could possibly have thought.
You're in your period, you didn't see the amount of sexual harassment, discrimination, abuse of women that appears to be coming out of Hollywood.
Well, I wasn't numb to it. I knew things were happening, and I did see things. In our case, we thought we maintained pretty good control, and we took action when we saw it. But the reality of it is now, when you have a case that comes out like this, it opens up the doors for all kinds of things. And I'm not meaning that these people, the men or women who are complaining or making anything up. I'm saying that it's a shame they didn't come forward. They were bullied. They thought their careers were going to be damaged. It's a very tight place in Hollywood, and it's all falling now right on top of Hollywood.
So as we finish up, basically, bullish case on GE if you're not into it, right, if you're not into the stock. Otherwise, you're going to have to ride this out.
Well, it's certainly an opportunity for a smart investor. I mean, you look at the quality of stuff that we have there. It's a little hard for me to say I want to double down and buy more.
Now, as we finish up, how optimistic are you on your all the work that you're doing at Code Purple now?
when you go into things like this, Jim, you have to be optimistic. I believe that we can make a real difference, especially in the initial area of early detection. And I think we can also make a difference in curative therapies. They have not focused on curative therapies. There's a lot of stuff out there that small things we can pull together. We'll find out. But I believe the early detection is that's the first thing on my list.
I'm looking forward to watching that number 9 go up to 60 because I think you'll do it. And we'll have you back for the fourth time for another accountability section. Always enjoy you. And you're doing obviously great. Everything you've ever done, you've innovated and reinvented. So I think that's a good sign here.
Well, this is a challenge, but this is life now. We're dealing with people's lives now, this is a chance to save
people's
lives.
Not TV shows,
lives.
Yes.
My wife could have been alive today if we had an early detection program.
And I remember you telling me that she was very near death.
Yep.
And she told you, you know, Bob, go on and live your life. And you said, no, I've got to go do this. And she said, thank you.
Thank you.
It was a great,
held my hand. Yep.
Great moment. We've been talking with Bob Wright. We're going to move back to GE when we get back.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least 2 federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least 2 federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at Invent InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
You became a nurse for a lot of reasons. You care about people, and you love taking care of them. Being a nurse is who you are. But today, many medical facilities require nursing candidates to have bachelor's degrees, so you're probably going to want to have that degree. But you work. You may have a family. How can you possibly fit getting your bachelor's degree in your already tight schedule? With the online RN to BSN Bridge Program at Independence University, our online learning model helps you balance your work, your family, and your desire to move up in your nursing career. Class sizes are small and personal, and we're 100% focused on helping you through the program so you can earn your degree. An IU's online RN to BSN program is accredited by the Commission on Collegiate Nursing Education. Our goal is to help you achieve your goals. Independence University's online RN to BSN program. Call now.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
Biz Talk Radio.
We've been talking with Bob Wright. We're going to move to GE. I think Jeff's done a great job on redoing the portfolio, but an interesting thing has come out of that. I'll talk to you that affects cash flow in that the businesses like the ones you had that generated a lot of cash have been spun off. But let's say
we were the largest cash generator in the company, I think, at the time.
Yeah. But the interesting thing that is that stuff's been gotten rid of, and I wonder if they understood the consequences on the cash flow.
They had to know it. They're not dumb people.
But they sold all the cash generators.
I know. They thought, I think mistakenly, I don't know, that they were going to make these big investments, and somehow or other, these big investments were going to create early cash that would be offsetting the loss from GE Capital.
Yes.
And it seems to me that that whole thing got bungled.
Yeah, it's struggling. I will say I'm a huge fan of the digital industrial strategy.
Haven't heard much of that in the last 2 months.
Well, I'll ask you about Flannery. The guys up there that I talked to that were very high on him, but I just hope he's not just a cost cutter.
I don't think he is. I think he's. I don't think that's the case.
I was going to say, you didn't sell your stuff, or
I kept a lot of it for my children.
Yeah,
and it's down 35% this year.
My God. Yeah. It's just, I remember when it happened to Sandy Weill. I mean, his Citibank went down like $1.5 billion. They come back, but it's kind of scary to live through it.
No, it's awful. It's awful. This would be the second time around now.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
actually, the third time around. I mean, it collapsed in 2002 with 9/11 and everything else, and the power business collapsed at that point in time. We had a bunch of terrible orders. They were kind of phony. They never materialized.
Wow.
And a lot of people made money, selling power to governments, and then they didn't want to pay their bills and so forth. It was a whole long thing.
The Schenectady guy told me that too. That a lot of these governments just don't pay, or they really stretch it out, and they end up making no money on the what do you call it, the hardware, and it's just the service end of the business. And
well, this is the third major collapse of the stock in the last 17 years. Third major collapse. The first collapse was between. Jack Welch, for this last year, the stock went down $170 billion when he was the CEO.
Yeah.
People forget that. That was that's a big number.
Yeah. Well, I also think Welch, it was so overvalued then. GE had a multiple of 32, which is...
Actually, it was a multiple of 40.
Okay, yeah, which is ridiculous.
I know.
You know, it was... And that's why I feel bad a little bit for a melt on that, because he gets beat up for the stock, but...
Well, he wasn't... This guy's more outspoken. I like that.
Flannery?
Melt was covering for Jack, and he was he was kind of like being very polite and everything. Yeah. This guy's saying, hey, here's what I got. Here's the hand I got.
I have to say, I bought stock after the 08 crash in GE. So I did well there. I bought it at 12, and I was thinking of buying it at 6.
Yeah.
I didn't have
you probably couldn't get it at 6 because it wasn't much market, but you probably could have gotten it at 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I don't think 12 was a pretty good idea.
12 was a pretty good idea. Cause, you know, it was all on paper that it looked good.
Yeah.
It hasn't materialized, so.
Well, I'm stunned because I have a lot of GE stock, and I thought it was my safest investment.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting miracles, but I was expecting a 3.5% dividend.
And that's going to go away. Yeah, you're right. They're going to get.
Well, it's 4 now. It's over 4.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying it takes 2 minutes.
No, that's going to go away.
Yeah, 2 minutes of analysis. They have negative cash flow after the dividend.
Well, that can't be.
Yeah, you can't do that.
But wait a second. That cash flow has to be temporary. That's not indicative of the assets they have.
But there's no way you can keep a dividend going with a negative cash flow unless you're just irresponsible.
No. We're going to hear the presentation of this on the 13th. He's going to address these issues and some other issues. So there's one hidden issue that, and it's not hidden. I'm not saying this because I have any inside information,
right.
But he mentioned the fact he was concerned about some assisted living liabilities that GE has been carrying around for years after we sold the insurance business.
Oh.
And we kept it. Now, I was aware that we kept some liabilities, but not liabilities that we were worried about.
Oh.
Liabilities in insurance and assisted living are very much like pension liabilities, where you associate a certain return that you're going to have to generate to cover them. And you hope that return is going to be easy to do, therefore you're going to have profit. So maybe they wrote it up like most, a lot of companies you talk to are still have their pensions funds at 7%.
Yeah,
8%. Annually, you can't do that.
No, you can't do that. You're unfunded like crazy.
Well, that's what happens. So this may have broken out here in the last couple of 3 years, and it didn't get picked up. But I actually can't believe that GE's finance people wouldn't have covered this by now. In other words, before ML left, but they didn't. Apparently, we're going to hear some more about that.
There's got to be some good news somewhere there.
Well, that's not. He mentioned something on the this is not inside information.
Yep.
He mentioned that there was a $25 billion liability
for that. For that.
Yes.
Well, then they got to sell that.
But that's okay if you're an insurance company and you have it covered. It's okay. It's a liability as goes with the asset. He mentioned it in a way that sort of said, I don't think we can cover this.
Well, and also if you're not reserved properly, which is what you're really talking about, then
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you got to fix the balance sheet with that.
Right. So. Anyway.
I'm glad he gets the big bucks to have.
He's going to get something. I don't know if he's going to get the big bucks. I think the big bucks all went to ML. They say ML's walking away with $200 million of GE stock. More $100 million of GE stock and a $200 million retirement program.
Really?
Well, that's public. That's not me.
I know. I'm just – it's just stunning.
I don't know. Those things are – those things aren't really the issue here. That's all history. The issue is what's going forward here.
Yeah. And I feel bad for a guy who only gets 2 or 3 months to put it together like he's gotten. But, you know, the market's going crazy.
Well, I'll tell you, he would be the most notorious graduate of Fairfield University.
Yeah.
But he also claims, he also has an imprimatur of the Wharton School.
Yeah, well, you know something too. It's going to end up being better to have followed Immelt than Vince Lombardi. Right? I mean, that's what Welch, is Vince, So this is going to be a little bit of a lower standard. So sometimes coming in when things are at the bottom is a good thing.
I like that.
Thanks again to Bob Wright,
always.
We love your time. We'll get you back for a fourth time, Bob.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio,